بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. So to proceed then with this, the first sitting, with this great work of this great Imam, Al-Imam Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, the book that we have before us is one of the small but potent works of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. And it, in actuality, is the response to a question that was posed to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. We mentioned that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, from a young age, from before the age of 20, had established a post in the main masjid in Damascus, wherein he was considered the main mudarris, the main teacher, and the main mufti in Al-Jami' al-Amawi. And Al-Jami' al-Amawi was the main masjid. It would be considered like the Masjid al-Nabawi in the city of Medina. And so for someone so young to receive that position was a very great indication of what this great Imam would go on to become. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah then, he was asked a question by another imam. And this imam, his name was Abu al-Qasim, al-Qasim ibn Yusuf al-Sabti. He himself was an imam in his own right, scholar of hadith, and one that was known as al-Rahala, namely the one that would travel across the various regions, sitting with the people of knowledge, sitting with the ulama within the various regions. And so, because of the great station of Shaykh al-Islam at that time, he approached Shaykh al-Islam and put forward a question to him. A question that indicates the station of he himself as it relates to his concern for his own guidance, his concern for his own salvation, and one that indicates what he considered as it relates to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, even though he was still very young. So he asks the Shaykh, and we'll begin with his question. He mentions, rahimahullahu ta'ala, يتفضل شيخ الإسلام بقية السلف وقدوة الخلف أعلم من لقيت ببلاد المشرق والمغرب تقي الدين أبو العباس أحمد بن تيمية بأن يوصيني بما يكون فيه صلاح ديني ودنياي ويرشدني إلى كتاب يكون عليه اعتمادي في علم الحديث وكذلك في غيره من العلوم الشرعية ينبهني على أفضل الأعمال الصالحة بعد الواجبات ويبين لي أرجح المكاسب كل ذلك على قصد الإيماء والاختصار والله تعالى يحفظه والسلام الكريم عليه ورحمة الله وبركاته. So he begins by saying that the great Shaykh and the Imam, the Baqiyatul Salaf, here he refers to him as Baqiyatul Salaf, or the remains, or the remainders of the Salaf, those who have remained from the earlier generations. And here, this description is one that is given to an alim that resembles the ulama of the Salaf. And of course, you're all acquainted with the fact that when we speak about the Salaf and mention the Salaf, we're referring to the Sahaba, their generation, their successors, the Tabi'een, and their successors, the Atba'ul Tabi'een. So he refers to him here as Baqiyatul Salaf, those who have remained from the Salaf, even though, of course, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was from the middle era, the Middle Ages. He died in the year 728. And so this great description is one that he gives to Shaykh al-Islam. وَقُدْوَةُ الْخَلَفِ, yani the example that is present for the Khalaf, for the latter generations, an example for the latter generations to follow. He mentions, أَعْلَمُ مَنْ لَقِيتُ بِبِلَادِ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, the most knowledgeable of those who I have met from the lands of the East and the West. The most knowledgeable whom I have met from the lands of the East and the West. And as we mentioned, the questioner himself is an imam. And the questioner himself is one that was well known for traveling to various regions seeking ilm. And he makes this statement to Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, who at the time was some 36 years old. And he was still a shab, still young, still a youth in essence. And so he asked and posed this question to him, referring to him as A'lamu. And this was a man who, he's from his characteristics, is he's traveling. A'lamu man laqitu min bilad al-mashriqi wal-maghrib, the most knowledgeable of those who have met in the lands of the East and the West. Taqiyuddin, Abu al-Abbas, Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah. So I asked him then to respond and to give me advice. بِأَنْ يُوسِينِ بِمَا يَكُونُ فِيهِ الصَّلَاحُ دِينِي وَدُنْيَايِ. He said to respond in relation to what has in it the rectification and good for my deen and for my dunya. So he asked him a very, very general and important piece of advice, that which is related to his life, that which has in it good for his deen and his dunya. So this is the first arm of the question. Advise me. And you imagine, if you're dealing with an imam like Shaykh al-Islam, one that has encompassed the text, one that has encompassed the very great works of the scholars, and one that he himself was a specialist in every area and every field, that you had the opportunity to ask him one question, it would possibly be the very same question that Abu Qasim posed to Shaykh al-Islam. Advise me with that which has in it rectification for my deen and for my dunya. Yurshiduni, give me advice and guide me to a book that I may rely upon. This is the second arm of the question. To a book that I may rely upon in the affairs of the deen, and in particular in relation to the affairs of the knowledge of hadith. He said, وَكَذَلِكَ فِي غَيْرِهِ مِنَ الْعُلُومِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ, and likewise the other sciences from the sciences of the Sharia, and to draw to my attention the best, this is the third arm of the question, to draw to my attention the best righteous action after the fara'il, after the wajibat, after the compulsory actions. What is the best righteous action that may be performed by the servant? He mentioned, وَيُبَيِّنُ لِي أَرْجَحُ الْمَكَاسِبِ, and fourthly, to make clear to me the best form of earnings. Yani, as it relates to the dunya now specifically, what is the best and what are the best form or forms of earnings? كُلُّ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ قَسْدِ الْإِيمَاءِ وَالْإِخْتِصَارِ. All of that, I intend that he will respond to me with making a brief, concise response. And so Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, here he responds. And the wasiyah al-sughra is in the majmu' al-fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam. He likewise has a wasiyatun kubra. He has a large wasiyah. As far as the wasiyah al-sughra, then it covers some 14 pages in majmu' al-fatawa. The Kubra covers some 80 odd pages in Al-Majmu'ah Al-Fatawa. So it is a bigger piece of advice. And then he mentions, وَالسَّلَامُ الْكَرِيمُ عَلَيْهِ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. May the salam and the peace of Allah Azza wa Jal be upon him, and the mercy of Allah and his barakat. And so Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, this was the question that was posed. And so he responded, rahimahullahu ta'ala, by saying, Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Amma al-wasiyyatu فما أعلم وصية أنفع من وصية الله ورسوله لمن عقلها واتبعها. قال تعالى: ولقد وصينا الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم وإياكم أن اتقوا الله. He said, firstly, I respond by saying. And he started, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. As far as the wasiyah is concerned, as far as the bequest or the piece of advice is concerned, then there is nothing better. There is nothing that I can advise you with that is better than the advice of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Particularly for the one that perceives this advice. That is, for the one that understands what Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger have advised with here, there is no advice that is better than this one. And that is the advice of Allah Azza wa Jalla, as occurs, أيها الإخوة, in Surah An-Nisa, verse 131, وَلَقَدْ وَصَيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. So Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah then, he responds by saying, I don't know of any wasiyah, first and foremost. I don't know of any wasiyah that is more beneficial than the advice of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the one that understands this advice. And that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَقَدْ وَصَيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. That indeed we have advised and we have given as a bequest, الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ, to those who were given the book, and the people of the book, before you, وَإِيَّاكُمْ, and for yourselves, that you should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, وَوَصَى النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم مُعَاذًا لَمَّا بَعَثَهُ إِلَى الْيَمَنِ فَقَالَ يَا مُعَاذ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتِ وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُحَا وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. He said, O Mu'adh, fear Allah wherever you may be. This is the advice of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After mentioning the advice of Allah, he follows up with the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, fear Allah wherever you may be, and follow up an evil deed with a good one, and it will wipe it out. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, and deal with the people with good character. Three pieces of advice that the Prophet ﷺ gave to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he goes on to discuss who Mu'adh ibn Jabal was. He mentions, وَكَانَ مُعَاذًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. كان معاذ رضي الله عنه من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بمنزلة عليا. He said that Mu'adh ibn Jabal رضي الله عنه had a great lofty station with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, فإنه قال له يا معاذ والله والله إني أحبك. He said that is because of the fact that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal on an occasion, O Mu'adh, wallahi, by Allah, I love you. And that would indicate the station of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The Prophet ﷺ would make that statement to him, and he didn't make that statement to all of his or to any of his companions except a few. Though he loved his companions, alayhi salatu wasalam, those who he actually informed and gave that glad tidings were few in number. So he mentions, so the Prophet ﷺ said about Mu'adh ibn Jabal that verily I love you, number one. He said, وَكَانَ يَرُدُّهُ وَرَاءَهُ أَوْ يُرْدِفُهُ وَرَاءَهُ. He also made him sit behind him on the donkey. On an occasion they were traveling, Prophet ﷺ made him sit behind him as a passenger on his donkey, which indicates the close proximity of Mu'adh ibn Jabal to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, وَرُوِيَ فِيهِ أَنَّهُ أَعْلَمُ الْأُمَّةِ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ. He said it has been narrated concerning him, and the hadith occurs in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi. It has been narrated concerning him that he will be ahead of the ulama by a handspan. Yani that he will stand in front of Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will stand in front of the ulama rahimahumullah. He said, وَأَنَّهُ يُحْشَرُ إِمَامَ الْعُلَمَاء. He mentioned, وَأَنَّهُ يُحْشَرُ أَمَامَ الْعُلَمَاء, that he will be raised in front of the scholars. Some narrations mention a hand span, some mention a foot span, or the distance of a step. He will be in front of them, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said, وَمِنْ فَضْلِهِ أَنَّهُ بَعَثَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُبَلِّغًا عَنْ دَاعِيًا وَمُفَقِّهًا وَمُفْتِيًا وَحَاكِمًا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْيَمَنِ. He said, what will indicate his great station is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent him as one who should convey the message from him. Number one. So he is, in essence, the messenger of the messenger of Allah. He mentions, likewise, the fact that from his virtue is that he will be in front of the scholars of Al-Qiyamah. Secondly, that he was the one that was sent, yani he is the Muballigh an al-Rasul. Thirdly, that he was sent as a da'iyah. He was sent as a caller to Allah Azza wa Jal in the land of Yemen. Fourthly, that he had knowledge and fiqh and understanding of the deen. Fifthly, that he was a person of fatwa, that he had the wherewithal and he had the ahliya, or he was competent and considered a scholar. He mentioned, وَحَاكِمًا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ يَمَنْ. He mentioned, and he sent him as a judge to the people of Yemen. وَكَانَ يُشَبِّهُهُ بِإِبْرَاهِيمَ الْخَلِيلِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ. He used to resemble him, that is, he was, يعني معاذ بن جبل, resembled to the Prophet and to the Messenger Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام. And he makes that clear by mentioning evidence for that. He mentions, wa Ibrahim imam al-nas, and Ibrahim is the imam of the people absolutely. Wa kana Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu yaqul, and Ibn Mas'ud used to say, inna mu'adhan kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa wa lam yakun min al-mushrikeen. He used to say that as it relates to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, indeed Mu'adh ibn Jabal was an ummah, he was a nation, qanitan lillahi hanifa, obedient to Allah, singling Allah Azza wa Jal out in worship, wa lam yakun min al-mushrikeen, and he was never from the mushrikeen, he was never considered from the people of shirk. He said, وَهِيَ كَذَلِكَ لِمَنْ عَقِلَهَا مَعَ أَنَّهَا تَفْسِيرُ الْوَسِيَّةِ, أو تَفْسِيرُ الْوَسِيَّةِ الْقُرْآنِيَّةِ. He said, so the Prophet ﷺ advised the Ummah with this, and he knew that the Ummah would increase in number. This is something that the Prophet ﷺ was informed of before the Messenger alayhi salam passed away. On an occasion, Allah Azza wa Jal showed him a nation, and he said he saw a Nabi and he had a great nation, so I thought that was my nation, which indicates that the Messenger was informed of the fact that the Ummah of Muhammad would spread and would become large in number. He mentions, وَوَصَّاهُ هَذِهِ الْوَصِيَّةِ, that is, the Prophet ﷺ gave him this advice, and he knew that his ummah would increase. He said, وَهِيَ كَذَلِكَ لِمَنْ عَقِلَهَا, and it is advice for anyone who understands what is in it. مَعَ أَنَّهَا تَفْسِيرُ الْوَصِيَّةِ الْقُرْآنِيَّةِ, even though in essence It is a tafsir of the surah and of the ayah in the Quran. The ayah that we met or that we mentioned previously, وَلَقَدْ وَصَيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, that verily we have advised those who were given the book before you and yourselves that you should fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, he said, أَمَّا بَيَانُ جَمْعِهَا فَلِأَنَّ الْعَبْدَ عَلَيْهِ حَقَّانِ. He said, this is the most comprehensive pieces of advice. And then he goes on to explain why. He said, as far as the explanation of that which is related to the hadith, he said, فَلِأَنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَهُ أَوْ عَلَيْهِ حَقَّانِ. He said, this is because of the fact that the servant of Allah Azza wa Jal, he has two rights upon him. He has two rights upon him, yani that is due from him. The first of them, حَقٌّ لِلَّهِ, a right that is a right of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَحَقٌّ لِعِبَادِهِ, and secondly, a right or the rights of his servants. ثُمَّ الْحَقَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ لَا بُدَّ أَن يُخَلَّ بِبَعْضِهِ أَحْيَانًا. He said then the haqq, the truth that the Prophet ﷺ was upon, it is imperative that it is going to, or there is going to occur something from deficiency in relation to what one has been advised. We've been advised to fear Allah Azza wa Jal, establish the wajibat, continue in establishing the nawafil, and that we hope for the khair and the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal for these actions. He said, ثُمَّ الْحَقَّ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ لَا بُدَّ أَن يُخَلْ بِبَعْضِهِ أَحْيَانًا. He said, as far as the right that is upon him, then it is imperative. That is, as it relates to anyone who lives from among the Muslimin, it is imperative that one is going to fall into sin, fall into error. And so he mentions then, إِمَّا بِتَرْكِ مَأْمُورٍ بِ, either by leaving alone what we have been commanded with, or فِعْلٍ مَلْهِيٌ عَنْ, or carrying out the thing that has been prohibited. Now, he mentions, فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ اِتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتْ وَهَذِهِ كَلِمَةُ الْجَامِعَةِ. He said this word and this first statement is comprehensive. The statement that is of the Prophet ﷺ to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, fear Allah wherever you may be. He said this is a general comprehensive statement of Shaykh al-Islam. Afwan, of the Prophet ﷺ to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, as Shaykh al-Islam mentions here. He said, وَفِي قَوْلِهِ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتْ تحقيق لحاجتي إلى التقوى في السر وعلانية. He said, as far as the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, fear Allah wherever you may be, then that has in it a clear clarification of the fact that the advice that was given from the Messenger ﷺ to Mu'adh ibn Jabal encompassed this first piece of advice, that is with fearing Allah. And so he made it clear, that is, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah made it clear that fearing Allah here is to implement the affair of taqwa, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether one is in public or one is in private. And ikhwan, this affair of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public, it is something that of course is easy to do generally. Everybody knows how to appear to be one that fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody knows how to appear to be an upright, righteous person. But what is our reality, ikhwan? That is what we have to ask ourselves. What is our reality? Regardless of what the people think about us, good or bad, what is our reality as it relates to our standing with Allah Azza wa Jal? And so he mentions here that this statement, it returns back and has in it the affair of fearing Allah in public and in private, and that which is built upon fearing Allah from reward. He mentions then, ثم قال وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها. Then he said, follow up a good deed, a bad deed with a good deed. Follow up a bad deed with a good deed and it will erase it. فَإِنَّ الطَّيِّبُ مَتَى تَنَاوَلَ الْمَرِيضُ شَيْئًا مُضِرُ فَأَمْرُهُ بِمَا يُصْلِحُهُ. Now, he mentions that the tabib or the doctor, whenever he has a patient approach him, he advises him in relation to that which is beneficial to him and doesn't cause him harm. That is the advice of the doctor. Otherwise he wouldn't be a doctor, ikhwan, if he didn't look for the maslaha and the good of the physical body of that patient. When he has an individual come before him, the good doctor is not just the one that does the procedure and it's over. Rather, the good doctor is one that considers that which is related to the outcomes of the patient, that which is related to good, connected to the patient himself. Na'am. He said, therefore, one should be aware of and be careful of that which is connected to the sins of the servant. That which is related to the sins of the servant, he discusses and he mentions here, وَالذَّمْ لِلْعَبْدِ كَأَنَّهُ أَمْرٌ حَتْمٌ. As far as the abd and the servant of Allah committing a sin, then this is something that is inevitable and it is going to happen. He said, فَالْكَيِّسِ. So the intelligent, astute, smart individual, هُوَ الَّذِي لَا يَزَالُ يَأْتِي مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ بِمَا يَمْحُ السَّيِّئَاتِ. He said the kayis or the smart individual is the one that has not ceased performing hasanat, that he continues upon righteous action, and that he is aware and stays away from the sayyi'at, he stays away from the evil deeds. He said, وَإِنَّمَا قَدَّمَ فِي لَفْظِ الْحَدِيثَ السَّيِّئَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَفْعُولًا لِأَنَّ الْمَقْصُودُ هُنَا مَحْوُهَا. He said, in as far as the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that which is related to the sayyi'ah or in relation to the sin, then it should be known that the sayyi'ah is a reference those sins that are performed in public and those sins that are performed in private that are from the things that Allah Azza wa Jal dislikes. Any act that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considered from the affair of ma'asi, of sin. He mentions, and follow up a bad deed with a good deed and it will wipe it out. Na'am. So he mentions, وَإِنَّمَا قَدَّمَ فِي لَفْظِ الْحَدِيثِ السَّيِّئَةِ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مَفْعُولَةِ لِأَنَّ الْمَقْصُودُ هُنَا مَحْوُهَا. He mentions the linguistic benefit related to the hadith itself, and that is the fact that the Prophet ﷺ in this statement, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْهُهَا, that follow the evil deed with a good deed and it will wipe it out. He is discussing some of the linguistic features of that statement. As far as what he stresses and what he mentions, first and foremost, is that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned sayyi'ah. And the sayyi'ah is what is known in the Arabic language in this sentence as the maf'ulun bihi. The maf'ulun bihi is the action that something is done, or an action that something is done to, or the thing that something is done to. So the maf'ulun bihi is the one that the action has been done to. And here, the action is following an evil deed with a good one. And so he mentions a linguistic point around that affair. And then he says, وَيَنْبَغِي أَن تَكُونَ الْحَسَنَاتُ مِنْ جِنْسِ السَّيِّئَاتِ فَإِنَّهُ أَبْلَغُ فِي الْمَحْوِ وَالذُّنُوبُ يَزُولُ بِمُوجِبِهَا بِأَشْيَاء. He said that when a person follows up that deed, and this is of benefit, ikhwan, for anyone from among the believers, male or female, he said that when a person carries out a sin, when he seeks to perform a righteous action that will wipe that sin out, the righteous action that he performs should be an action that is similar to the action that he fell into. And so the action should be relative to the sin. What was it that he did as it relates to the sin? For example, he performed or carried out one of the sins of the tongue. If that occurred, then the good deed that should follow it is a good deed from the deeds of the tongue. Since the sin was performed, then it is from the actions that are considered displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. When it was performed, then that action has been recorded as one action, and removing that action returns back to performing an action that is similar to it in nature from the good deeds. So he mentions that it is befitting that the أن يقول الحساب من جنس السيئات فإنه أبلغ في المحو والذنب يزول موجبها بأشياء. He said, as far as the affair then is concerned, فإنه أبلغ للمحو. If he performs an action that is similar to the action of the sin that he does, then it is greater in blotting out and emitting the dhunub, or ablagh afwan, annahu ablagh fil mahu, greater in blotting out the sin itself. He said, but there are certain things that remove the dhunub, remove the sins. The first of them, at-tawbah. Check the scholars, and from them Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, have mentioned that there are certain things, ikhwan, that remove a person's sin after he performs a sin. When a person performs a sin, there are some things in the dunya that cause the sin to be blotted out, and there are some things in the hereafter that cause the sin to be blotted out. As far as the response of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah here, he mentions that which is related to the affairs in the dunya. And he didn't mention the things that are related to the hereafter. Since the advisor, or the one that comes to seek advice, the advisor, when he looks at that person, he advises him in that which is relative to his question. And so Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah did not mention the 10 factors that by way of them one's sins are removed. He mentioned a portion of them. And he mentioned that portion that is relative to the action of the servant in the dunya. And so, here we find his response is an accurate one. The first thing that he mentions then is tawbah. The second thing that he mentions is al-istighfaru min ghayri tawbah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَدْ يَغْفِرُ لَهُ إِجَابَةً لِدُعَائِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَإِنْ اجْتَمَعَتِ التَّوْبَ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارُ فَهُوَ الْكَمَالُ. He said, istighfar, which is different to tawbah. Tawbah is one affair and istighfar is another. He said, he mentioned, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ يَغْفِرُ لَهُ إِجَابَةً لِدُعَائِهِ, that perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal will respond to him as a response to his dua. He makes dua, then a person makes dua, he makes istighfar, he seeks the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that forgiveness is something that may come upon that individual, of course, and will come upon him while he is unaware. He said, but if that is that Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive him, and he won't know that he's been forgiven. He said, but if these two things come together, then that is perfection. That is, if tawbah and istighfar come together, then that is al-kamal, that is perfection as it relates to this action. Thirdly, he said, al-a'mal as-salihah al-mukaffira. Thirdly, from the things that will blot out and emit sin, is that a person carries out an action from the righteous actions that are considered from the mukaffirat. That is, that he carries out a righteous action that by way of it, the sins are removed. As occurs, an example of that, as occurs in the hadith of Himran, the mawla or the freed slave of Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, who said that he saw Uthman bring a vessel or call for a vessel having water in it. He said that he took the water and then he made madmada wa istinshaq. He took it into his mouth and he rinsed his mouth, and then he took some into his nose and blew it out. He said, and then he washed each limb three times, and then he said, yani that is Uthman, O Messenger of Allah. Or he mentioned, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من توضع نحو وضوء هذا. He said, whosoever performs a wudu like this wudu of mine. ثم صلى ركعتين, and then he prays two rak'ah. لا يحدث في لا يحدث فيه نفسه, and he does not address himself in relation to his salah, then Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive him his sins. غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبي. نعم. Then he continues. أما الكفارات المقدرة كما يكفر المجامع في رمضان والظاهر والمرتكب لبعض محظورات الحج أو تارك لبعض واجباتها أو قائل وقاتل السيد بالكفارات المقدرة وهي أربعة أجناس. He goes on to discuss here that which is related to the kafarat, or the specific types of expiation of sins. Thirdly, he mentions the actions that are righteous and that are considered mukaffirah, the righteous actions that expiate sin. And then he said the specific types of expiations of sin. So it makes a difference between the righteous action that expiates sin and then the specific types of expiations that have been legislated. Like the expiation that has been legislated for the person that has sexual relations in Ramadan, which is that a person fasts for two consecutive months. That is the legislated expiation for the person who fasts or that has sexual relations in Ramadan. That a person makes the zihar, that is that he says to his wife that you are like the back of my mother. The expiation for the zihar, the expiation for that statement is that he either frees a slave or that he fasts for two consecutive months, and if he's not able to do so, that he feeds 60 poor people. Or a person, for example, that carries out an evil deed while in the state of ihram. Again, there is an expiation for that. And the one who leaves some of the wajibat. All of these things, all of these actions are from the actions that have specific kafarat, have specific expiations related to them. Na'am. And so he mentions and continues. Na'am. As far as Hajj is concerned, since he mentioned the affair of killing and hunting during Hajj, it is haram to hunt during Hajj. But as far as the one who does so, then his kafarat, or his expiation for doing so, is that he slaughters an animal similar to the animal that he slaughtered. But as far as the absolute kafara, then the things that will expiate the sin, just as Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said to Umar, fitnatu rajul fi ahlihi wa malihi wa waladi yukaffiruha as-salah was-siyam was-sadaqah. He said that the fitna of a man as it relates to his wealth and as it relates to himself and as it relates to his offspring is yukaffiruha as-salah. They are expiated by his performance of salah and his fasting and his sadaqah and his enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. He mentions وَقَدْ دَلَّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْقُرْآنُ وَالْأَحَادِيثُ الصِّحَاحُ فِي التَّكْفِيرِ بِالصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ وَالْجُمُعَةِ وَالصِّيَامِ وَالْحَجِّ وَسَائِرِ الْأَعْمَالِ الَّتِي يُقَالُ فِيهَا مَنْ قَالَ كَذَا وَعَمِلَ كَذَا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. نعم. He mentions that the Quran and the Sunnah indicate that there is expiation in the performance of the five daily prayers, in the performance of one Jumu'ah to the next. So here he mentions Jumu'ah, but the intent is one Jumu'ah to the next, and fasting and in Hajj. And the rest of the righteous actions, التي يقال فيها من قال كذا وعمل كذا غفر له أو غفر له. He said, likewise, all of the other actions that were in the Prophet ﷺ, he said, whomsoever does such and such, then he will receive such and such. Then these are considered absolute kafarat, any absolute forms of expiation. Then he goes on to mention, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْعِنَايَةَ بِهَذَا مِنْ أَشَدِّ مَا بِالْإِنسَانِ الْحَاجَةُ إِلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ حِينِ يَبْلُغْ خُصُوصًا فِي هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ وَنَحْوِهَا مِنَ الْأَزْمِنَةِ الْفَتَرَاتِ الَّتِي تَشَبُّهُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ فِي بَعْضِ الْوُجُوهِ فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ الَّذِي يَنْشَأْ بَيْنَ أَهْلِ عَصْرِهِ ودين قد يتلخط من أمور الجاهلية بعدة أشياء فكيف بغيرها. He said that you should know that inaya or concern with this affair is one that insan or mankind has extreme need for. For indeed mankind from the time that he reached and come of age, specifically in this ummah or in this time, from these latter days, these days that are filled with fitan, it is befitting that a person is acquainted with these forms of expiation. Because indeed the one that is nurtured upon knowledge and deen, that even he may fall into something from the affairs of Jahiliyyah. And if that is the case with him, then what about other than him? Then he mentioned the hadith in the Sahihain, in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, in the hadith of Abi Sa'ad, he said, لَتَتَّبِعَنَّ سَنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ حَذْوَ الْقُدَّةِ بِالْقُدْوَةِ حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا حَجْرًا أَدَبٍ لَدَخَلْتُمُوهُ. He said, mentioning the hadith, the popular hadith, and that is a hadith in the Sahihain of Abu Sa'ad, who said that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, that the example of the previous generations will come to you, and you shall follow their example. Even, yani if, as the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, if they were to enter, yani that is, if the previous nations were to enter the hole of a lizard, then you would follow them into that hole. And so somebody said, O Messenger of Allah, do you mean the Jews and the Christians? He said, then who else? He said, هذا خبر تصديقه في قوله تعالى. All of this statement up until this point, Ikhwan, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is discussing that which is related first and foremost to the kafarat, or those things that will expiate for a person a sin. Remember that his statement returns back to the original hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when the Prophet ﷺ, he said, O Mu'adh, fear Allah wherever you may be, and follow a good deed with a bad one, and it will wipe it out. So he starts by mentioning, first and foremost, one of the things that remove your sins, because of course success is in meeting Allah without sin. And so here the Prophet ﷺ advised Mu'adh, number one, with the things that will cause a person to remain upon uprightness throughout his life, and that is that he strives to be upon taqwa. Number two, that if it is that a person happens to fall into sin, then his sins are expiated by him following up the evil deed with a good one. Then he describes and explains how one does so. Firstly, one should follow the evil deed with a deed that is like it from the good deeds. So if he performs an evil deed of the tongue, he carries out a good deed with the tongue. If he performs an evil deed of the limbs, he carries out a good deed with the limbs. If he performs an evil deed with the hand, he carries out a good deed with the hand. And that is more likely that sin will be expiated by that good deed that resembles it. And so he starts with that. Then he goes on to mention that which is related to the forms of expiation that are specific. And that from the forms of expiation, there are things that are specific types of expiation for specific types of actions. So if a person, for example, eats in Ramadan, there is a specific expiation now. And so it is not just an affair of follow up a good deed with a bad deed with a good deed. Here, we have a specific expiation that must be done. If you eat in Ramadan, then there's an expiation. If you have sexual relations in Ramadan, there is a specific expiation. And that is that one fasts for 2 consecutive months. So it doesn't just, if he were to have sexual relations in Ramadan, he doesn't just say, well, I'm just going to make some dhikr and that should do it because I'm following up this evil deed with a good deed. La. Here the Prophet ﷺ legislated a particular type of expiation that must be done. And that is that a person fasts for 2 consecutive months. So then he, after discussing the specific forms of expiation, if you do such and such an action, the expiation for it is this. If you do such and such an action, the expiation is this. Then he mentions the general forms of expiation, like the 5 daily prayers. They are all forms of expiation. Like performing Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah. That these actions are general forms of expiation of sin. Making wudu, for example, in that is expiation of sin. These are all general forms of expiation of sin. So this is all returning back to the explanation of the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, where the Prophet ﷺ, and in particular the second line, where the Prophet ﷺ said, and follow up a bad deed with a good one and it will wipe it out. So either he carries out a deed and an action that is similar from the good deeds to the evil deed that he performed, or if it is a specific wrong that he's done that has a specific expiation, that he does those specific expiations, he carries those things out. Or thirdly, if it is from the affairs that having them sin, then there are general expiations that he may do, that those sins may be forgiven. Naam. And so then he mentions the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِخَلَاقِكُمْ كَمَا اسْتَمْتَعَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ بِخَلَاقِهِمْ وَخُدْتُمْ كَالَّذِي خَادُوا. That Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that indeed you have enjoyed sin as those before you have enjoyed sin, and you entered into sinning and committing wrong as those who came before you have committed wrong. That is to say that Allah Azza wa Jal has established in these verses the fact that mankind will do wrong, that mankind, just as the previous nation sinned, you too will perform sin, and therefore it is imperative that we are acquainted with how to expiate and remove and wipe sin out. Wiping sin out is either done with tawbah, or it is done with istighfar, or it is done with the general types of expiation, or it is done with the specific types of expiation. He said, and this affair has that which is clear, or that which is manifest from evidence supporting what has been mentioned from the text of the Sunnah. From the text of the Sunnah. So he establishes a foundation and a premise that the rest of the book is going to discuss. And we'll mention this last paragraph and we'll round up on that. He said, وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ قَدْ هَذَا أَمْرٌ قَدْ يَسْرِيَ فِي الْمُنْتَسِبِينَ إِلَى الدِّينِ مِنَ الْخَاصَةِ كَمَا قَالَ غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ السَّلَفِ مِنْهُمْ إِبْنْ عُيَيْنَةِ فَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنْ أَحْوَالِ الْيَهُودِ قَدْ ابْتُلِيَ بِهِ بَعْضُ الْمُنْتَسِبِينَ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ وَكَثِيرًا مِنْ أَحْوَالِ النَّصَارَى قد ابتلي به بعض المنتسبين إلى الدين كما يبصر ذلك من فهم دين الإسلام الذي بعث الله به محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم نزله على أحوال الناس فإذا كان الأمر كذلك فمن شرح الله صدره للإسلام فهو على نور من ربه وكان ميتا فأحياه الله وجعل له نور يمشي به في الناس لا بد أن يلاحظ أحوال الجاهلية وطريق الأمتين المغضوب عليهم والضالين من اليهود والنصارى فيرى أن قد يبتلى ببعض ذلك. He mentions this then after we discussed the fact that sinning occurred among the previous generations and it will occur among the latter generations. He said that this affair then is something that may occur and is recognized even among the khasa, even among the specific individuals among the Muslimin. Yani he refers here to people of knowledge and people of virtue and fadl. He said, just as more than one of the Salaf used to say, and from them Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he used to say that indeed much of the al-ahwal, or much of the conditions of the Yahud, the things that they fell into, this ummah will be tried with it. And those who are attributed to knowledge. Yani those who are attributed to knowledge, they will be tried with some of the things that the Yahud fell into. وَكَثِيرًا مِنْ أَحْوَالِ النَّصَارَى, and much of the condition and the state of the Christians, then some of those who attribute themselves to deen and among this ummah will fall into what they fell into. He said, كَمَا يُبْصِرُ ذَلِكَ مَنْ فَهِمَ دِينَ الْإِسْلَامِ, just as is observed and seen by anyone who understands the deen. And they will know that what happened with the Christians and the Jews will happen with us. You remember that the Christians and the Jews, as it relates to the Jews being مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, then they are maghdubi alayhim, or the anger of Allah is upon them because they had knowledge but didn't act. And the Dalin, those who are astray, a reference to the Christians, they are considered Dalin because they acted without knowledge. And so he mentions here that among this ummah, there will be people of knowledge who will fall into what the Yahud fell into. And among this ummah, there will be general worshippers who don't have knowledge, who will fall into what the Christians fell into. And that is established in the statement that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith that he quoted, that you shall certainly follow the ways of those who came before you, handspan by handspan and footstep by footstep. And when the Sahabi, he asked, do you mean the Christians and the Jews, O Messenger of Allah? He said, then who else? And so Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah explains that since the Christians and the Jews were given this title of Maghdubi alayhim and Dalin for a reason. The Jews, the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal is upon them because they acted, they had knowledge and didn't act. Therefore, from the Salaf of this Ummah were those who used to say that among the people of knowledge will be those who have knowledge but do not act and resemble the Yahud, resemble the Jews. The Christians are considered the Dalin, those who are misguided and astray, because they acted without knowledge. Therefore, from the general worshippers of this Ummah will be those who fall into that which the Christians fell into, from acting without knowledge. And so since that is established and is the case and has been prophesied by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said here, for anyone who is clear or anyone who has clear sight will understand this. He said, if the affair is such, and it is, فَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ, and whosoever Allah has expanded his breast to Islam, and he is upon nur from his Lord, and used to be dead, and Allah Azza wa Jal gave him life, and made nur, or give him nur, and blessed him with light that he walks with among the people, it is a must that he observes the ahwal of jahiliyyah. It is a must that he observes and looks at the affairs of the people of jahiliyyah and the path of the two previous nations. What did they do? What did they fall into? What occurred with them? What are the various paths of the people of jahiliyyah? What are the ways that the Prophet ﷺ was sent to oppose? And it is for that reason that Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he wrote his book, Masail al-Jahiliyyah. Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the author of Kitab al-Tawheed, he wrote a beautiful book called Masail al-Jahiliyyah, or the affairs or the issues of the aspects of Jahiliyyah. And in it, he discusses over 100 issues that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to oppose the people of Jahiliyyah with. Over 100 issues, an important book, since many of us have come from Jahiliyyah. Many of us had a past. Many of us were not upon deen initially, and then Allah Azza wa Jal guided us. And so, acquainting oneself with those affairs of Jahiliyyah is a vitally important affair that we may oppose and know what we need to oppose. And similarly, as it relates to the Christians and the Jews, then we should know that they have these titles that Allah has given them for a reason, and therefore we should avoid that or those reasons. If it is that we're people of knowledge, then know that it is easy for us to start resembling the Yahud. And so we must be acquainted with that and aware of it and stay away from it. If it is that we're worshippers, general worshippers, then it is easy for us to fall into that which the Christians fell into, from acting and worshipping without knowledge. And thus, brothers and sisters, the call then to ilm, the call to knowledge, is one that is imperative, is one that is of major importance, and it is that tomorrow's session begins with. Since Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions, فَأَنْفَعْ مَا لِلْخَاصَةِ وَالْعَامَةِ الْعِلْمِ بِمَا يَخُصُّ النُّفُوسِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْوَرَقَاتِ. He said, therefore, that which is from the most beneficial of things to the general person and to those who are specific, a reference here to the people of knowledge and virtue, is that they have knowledge, that they acquire knowledge concerning these affairs, how these things are done, how one follows up the evil with the good, for example, how one expiates for sin, how one removes his evil deeds. These things are imperative, ikhwan, to our success, fundamental to our success in the deen, in the dunya and in the deen, and in the dunya and in the hereafter. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى وفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضى.